Gospel of John. That text is printed on page 8 in your bulletin. Today is Trinity Sunday. It's that day in the church's calendar where we highlight this central and essential teaching of our Christian faith. Or as Professor Michael Rees put it, he said, "The Trinity is the governing center of all Christian belief, the truth that shapes and beautifies all others. The Trinity is the cockpit of all Christian thinking." Indeed. As we look to the reading of God's word, though, if you would please join me in prayer. Christ our God, we ask that you would set our hearts on fire this morning with love through your word, that in its flame we would love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and our neighbors as ourselves, so that by keeping your commandments we might glorify you, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And this we would pray in your mighty name. Amen. Be reading just John chapter 1 to begin with. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The word of the Lord. One observer of humanity concluded two things. People like to talk, and they like to talk about others. And he didn't mean just in the sense of gossip, though I'm sure that was included. We like to talk, and we like to talk about other people. This is so universal that you really hope that he didn't get some sort of large government grant to figure it out. But the deeper question is why? Why do we like to talk, and why do we like to talk about other people? Because that is how we are designed. And a step further is that we reflect our designer. When you look at a painting, you can often guess who the painter is just by how the painting looks. Rembrandt and Van Gogh do not look alike. They are designed differently, even if they're painting the same scenes. We are designed by a relational God, and we are made in his image. The Trinity is at its center a relationship. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in relation, in love, in communion. God has his very being in communion, in communication. For love implies communion. When Scripture says that God is love, it's not just a nice phrase that means that God is happy with whatever we're happy with. No, far from it. It means that God is love in his very essence before he created even the smallest of molecules. His eternal relationship of love has always existed within himself. Saint Augustine spoke of the Trinity in terms of love. He spoke of love itself, that bond of love as the Holy Spirit, the lover being the Father and the beloved, the one love being the Son, because love requires another. And it is the nature of love to communicate. Now, yes, the Trinity is certainly a mystery. We all acknowledge that. Yet if we are to understand who we are and who God is, to understand the world around us, we need to peek in. We need to look a little further. Because the Lord has revealed himself to us as one God in three persons, we must know and worship this God. So this means that when we talk about who God is or the Trinity, we don't just summarize him in discussions of numbers and abstract terms. We talk to the living God who has revealed himself by communicating to us and who has revealed himself to us in the relationship of a covenant of grace, a covenant of love. Well, looking at how we're made for communication, John 1, in the beginning. Immediately we hear echoes of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John starts us at the beginning as well. He's also talking about God creating the world, but he throws something else in there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, wait, who's the Word? He's God, but he's somehow different. He's God, and yet he's with God. It says he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Well, John then tells us exactly who he's talking about further down in verse 14. He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, this is Jesus, the Word, the Son of God. The Word is God. When you hear the word Word, you think of speech, of communication. Prior to anything, this dynamic relationship of God communicating has always been. One theologian has put it this way. He says, there are, as it were, three identities in the one God. Another has spoken of the Trinity in terms of revelation. God reveals, that's the Father. God is revelation, the Son. God makes revelation effective or known, the Holy Spirit. So again, why does all this matter? It seems so hard to follow for us. You might think, you know, I'm just a simple man or I'm a simple woman. Let's just leave this for the experts out there. Now, it is true, if you want to fly in a plane, you hardly need to know anything about aeronautical engineering. You buy the ticket and you get in. Yet you should know something about the destination. If the destination is totally different than where you wanted to go, you would start doing some research. You're flying to Orlando, and you end up in New Delhi. That's not where you wanted to go. And if you go to the counter and complain to the clerk, he might look at you and simply say, no, 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 you got on a Hindu plane. You are in New Delhi. That is your fault. The destination matters. The plane matters. These are not just accidental things. Different religions are like different plane destinations. And only an ignorant person says all religions are the same. They're very different. If you start with some non-relational Allah, like in Islam, or a cosmic soul, Brahman of Hinduism, those planes are going to take you somewhere very different. The Allah of Islam is unknowable. He is absolutely one with no distinction, no addition of persons. He is always distant, completely other, completely transcendent. There is no real communication with him in any meaningful way. And it should not be a surprise to us that this concept of forgiveness is really alien to Islam. Because reconciliation requires relationship. In Islamic countries, predominantly marriage relationships look like the total domination of a man over his wife. There is no room for two becoming one. That reflects the Trinity as well for us. Islam itself means submission, submission to a distant and unknowable being. And so the emphasis is on Allah's judgment and his power, not on his love or his communication with us. One obeys his commands and in no real way knows him. And yet we see in Scripture the submission of the Son to the Father in a self-giving and co-equal relationship. The Word, the communication of God comes to us and takes on flesh. The Lord makes himself knowable. We were created to know him, to communicate with him, to communicate with one another. In Genesis 2, we see the Lord talking to Adam, Adam talking to Eve. And even in the midst of their sin, God calls out to Adam and Eve. He speaks. The Lord came and he spoke to Abraham. In Exodus 33, we read, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. We were designed to talk. And we like to talk about others. And I don't mean in the sinful sense. Why? Because we were also designed and made for relationships. We all long to be in community. When we are alone and isolated for too long, the result is usually very bad. Deep, dark depression, even suicidal thoughts. In that film, Castaway, with Tom Hanks, stranded on a small, uninhabited island, he has this ongoing communication with a volleyball. And he appropriately names him Wilson. Puts a little face on there from a handprint. Well, as movie watchers, we get it. It makes sense to us. It doesn't really seem that strange. You think, well, is he going mad? Or is this communication what is helping him from going mad? That need and desire to talk, to communicate with someone. You think of things like Facebook, eHarmony, Tinder, Snapchat, and the many other forms of social media that are always trying to help us either to find a relationship or to maintain a relationship, to keep them up. It's a part of the world we live in. And Jesus comes into this sinful, broken world to restore relationship with us. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Then he goes on to say, all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this message of reconciliation. Reconciliation only takes place when there is a relationship. One, it has been broken, but you have to have a relationship in order to reconcile. That is the heart of what Jesus is doing. He is restoring relationship between sinful people and a holy Father through himself. In John chapter 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his soon coming death, and he tells them that he is going to the Father to prepare a place for them, and they don't understand. In verse 5, Thomas said to them, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And that well-known verse to us, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the one who brings that covenant relationship with the Father. And it can only happen by being connected to the Son. He goes on and he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is speaking of this oneness with the Father. The Father is not some unknowable being way out there. He is the one who has revealed himself. And Jesus says, I am that revelation, for I am the God-man. And they don't quite get it. Philip says, well, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough. Jesus says, I have been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? There's a note of exasperation in Jesus' voice as he gently rebukes Philip. In verse 10, he says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. The word Jesus speaks, Jesus talks about the Father. We talk about the people we love. At Jesus' baptism, the Father tells those who are there to listen to his beloved Son, for he loves his Son. And he doesn't just stop there. A little later in John 15, Jesus speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Helper comes, or the Comforter comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. He will talk about me. And in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, there is so much to unpack in these verses that we're just going to simply leave unopened on the table. But what we do see is this relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit at work communicating truth and restoring relationship. That's very clear. And Jesus is about to be crucified. He knows that he will soon depart. The reality of Pentecost is coming. The resurrected Lord Jesus would ascend into heaven and the promised Holy Spirit would be given to his people. That is all before him. And Jesus here prays as the Son to the Father. It is his right and his privilege to do so. He's essentially saying, Father, I am coming home and I have invited some of my friends for dinner. This is not the destination of other religions at all. The Allah of Islam is unknowable, impersonal, distant. You only know him secondhand. And your life is really to be lived trying not to tick him off so that it will go well for you in the judgment. There is a unity with no diversity. The oneness of Hinduism or other Eastern beliefs is impersonal. You get close enough only to not even know yourself, to merge into a cosmic nothingness and everythingness. A diversity that completely collapses. Our worship, our knowing God, is grounded in his gift of grace, his gift of revelation to us. The Father reveals himself to us. He invites us to participate in himself through the Son. And we respond to this gracious invitation through the new life given to us in the Holy Spirit. And in all of this, it's not a little bistro table with just you and Jesus. It is a large family dining table. And to come in, you must get off the porch, as it were. You can't stay on the outside. And it's hard. And the question is why? Why is that so hard to get? Because when the Lord reveals himself and he invites us in, he also reveals something about ourselves. It isn't just, here's something about me. As you get closer to me, you also see more of who you are. It's humbling. And for many, they will not be stripped naked before him. And so they would rather choose to hang out in their rags and their tattered clothes all the while believing they're grand. Keeping the Lord at a distance as an abstraction. One scholar has put it well. He said, the Trinity belongs to the inner life of God and can only be known by those who share in that life. As long as you are on the outside, you will never see beyond his unity. You have to step in closer. And that's where that relationship is seen. You have to step into that relationship, into that communication. And we are invited in to be in Christ. This is not some abstract teaching, but a truly personal one. A personal invite from the Creator to begin to know him. An invitation where the messenger is the message. The word communicated to us has become flesh, has dwelt among us so that we would know the Father, that we would have life and light in him. Not an unnecessary abstraction. The destination that you are going to arrive at, it depends on the plane that you are going to take. And the very things that you and I long for, not just with the Lord, but in our relationships with one another, it all has to be founded upon him. That restoration from the Father to us through the Son has been mediated to us through the Spirit, and that same restoration is now given for us to go outward to those around us. How can I truly be reconciled with others because I have been reconciled to the Father? He has designed me for this. He has made me to be in communion. That's why we're here. This is a part of that deeper inner longing of the heart. There's so much of this that we just see and glimpses of it and taste parts of it, and we know there's something greater here than we can imagine. But this is in part a piece of that reality that is yet to come. The longing of our hearts fulfilled in Him, that we would know Him completely and be known completely. And all of this is found through our triune God who has called us to Himself. If you'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, there is so much of You that is a deep mystery to us. And yet, Lord, You have chosen to reveal Yourself to all of us through Your Son. We bless You. We thank You this day. Father, we pray that You would continue to reveal more and more of Your goodness, Your love, Your communion with us, that we would reflect more and more of You. Father, that we would live out the design that You put into us to be the loving people of God. Lord, we pray and ask that You would continue to use us to reveal Jesus to a world in desperate need of reconciliation. We pray that Your Spirit, that He would continue to sanctify us, to make us more like our Savior, that we would long to and continue to call out, Abba, Father, to know the deep mysteries of our faith, which has been revealed in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.